WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Have you been wronged by your nicotine pouches? Settle for sharp edges, rough texture, flavor that drops off. Your pouches are a total wreck, and we're here to get results. Introducing On Plus, the softest pouch on the planet, made with plush, stretchy Nico Silk mesh. That's right, it's as soft as it sounds. So stop settling. Buy On Plus nicotine pouches today at onnicotine.com. Products for tobacco consumers 21 years of age or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. I am so glad to have you guys with us today, and I'm so excited for this episode. I've got a very special guest who is here to talk to us about leadership. And here's the thing. Everybody seems like they want to be a leader. Everybody wants to be in charge at some point in their life, but do they really want to be a leader, or do they just want to call some shots and sit back and relax? I really want to get into it with our guest. I've had the honor of speaking with her offline before this interview, and I'm here to tell you all, she pulls no punches. So if you guys are struggling with whether or not you want to be a leader or not, I'm here to tell you, she will let you know. By the end of this show, you will know what it takes to be a leader. That's what I'm dying to get into. She is the CEO and principal consultant of Bridgewell Professional Services, hailing all the way from the mighty state of California. I am here to welcome our special guest, Miss Asia Bribieska Hadeen. Good morning for you, but good afternoon for us up on the East Coast.
Yeah, it is. It's a slightly overcast morning. I was just sharing that we're up at a little getaway, so I'm working away from home.
Yes,
from home, away from home, up in the mountains in Southern California, and Asia Bribieska Hadeen.
Asia, I'm Asia. So. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
You are okay. You're that's just to keep you on your toes, you guys.
I hate messing up people's names because so many people mess up mine. And I'm like,
got
oh,
it.
God, are we still on this? They want to call me Chapel. And I'm like, okay. But life goes on. So I really apologize. Asia. Here's the thing. If we look at your LinkedIn page, it shows the pronunciation right by your name, and I just totally messed it up. I'm sorry. but
in all fairness, it totally says Asia, right? If you read English, it totally says Asia.
So. Oh man.
No harm, no foul.
I'm really excited about this conversation that we're about to have. Put something to bed for us real quick.
Sure.
Everybody at some point in their life, okay, I'm not going to say everybody, I'm not going to put that on everybody, but most people at some point in their life has said something to the effect of somebody else shouldn't be in charge, somebody else shouldn't be calling the shots, somebody else shouldn't be a leader, I could do a better job, I would do this, I would do that. I mean, hey, even sports fans do it. I mean, I'll be honest. I am an armchair coach.
Yes.
I am an armchair coach. because I'm yelling at the TV what the coach is doing. Wrong play. You shouldn't have called that. Maybe unbeknownst to us, to a lot of people, but we do it.
Absolutely.
So as a leader, as someone who coaches and shows someone, hey, this is, you know, this is what you need to focus on as a leader. This is what you need to what does it take to be an effective leader? Because trust me, I have been around leadership that was not effective. What does it take to be, number one, what is effective leadership? And then two, I'm sorry, that's a two-part question. Two, what does it take to be an effective leader?
Okay. Boy, yeah, you started just right out the gate. And you said, put this to bed. We're just waking this up. So hold on a second. But let me see. Okay, so the first part about, what was the first part of the question? Was that about being an effective leader? Or
right. What is effective leadership?
I have a very deliberate and particular definition of leadership, right? Mm-hmm. To me, and the way that I work with my clients mm-hmm. is with the understanding that leadership is your ability to get the best from yourself and the best from your people towards a shared goal.
Mm.
That's it. So it doesn't have anything to do with having the title, although I'll definitely right. address the question regarding being in charge, right?
Mm.
But it doesn't have anything to do with being a title, doesn't have anything to do, you know, with how much you make or how many people report to you, how big your organization is,
right.
Or how many degrees you have. Mm. It really has to do with whether you're bringing your best and from that place, right? Not from a place of being all up in your head and filled with ego and, oh, I'm so bad, I'm the one in charge. Not from that place, because that's not a leader.
Mm.
But from the place of bringing your best, then you inspire the best from others.
I'm going to sip my tea on that. I'm sipping my tea. when you said the leader bringing their best,
yes.
Ooh, I told you all, she's not going to pull any punches. I felt this right hook coming. So when you said that, I understand that. I understand that. However, I have been, I have experienced leadership where they're not coming from that place.
Yes.
How does a leader... Number one, how does a leader find out that they are that type of leader? They're coming from a place of ego, or I'm the one calling the shots. I'm the one in charge. For someone who's listening right now and they're in that leadership role and they just heard you say they've got to bring their best to be an effective leader, they've got to bring their best and then get the best out of their team, their employee, whoever it is.
Right.
How, for that one that's not quite hitting the mark and not bringing their, how do they say, oh man, that's me?
Yeah. If they're already saying that's me, that is a huge step forward.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because I will tell you, I work with a lot of leaders and, we would hope that, you know, as leaders, we spend a good amount of time considering what's really going on in our heads, you know, what's most important to us, what we're trying to get done, things like that. But oftentimes we get caught up in the swirl and the busyness of things, and we forget that what we're there to do is inspire the best from other people to get the job done, right?
Okay.
If we remember that the intention is, and if you really do buy into what I'm saying about leadership, right, and you believe that your role is to bring your best and from that best, again, bring the best, encourage others to bring their best, then the way that you consider your to-dos and your busyness and all that is going to shift, right? Because you're thinking about, well, shoot, you know, Jamie over there is having a hard time.
Right.
I can either, you know, bust his back or however you want to say that.
Right, okay.
No. Just keep it G. But
Okay.
Okay. So you can either do that and call him out to let him know how maybe disappointing you find him, or you think you're being inspiring by saying, you know, get your shit together,
right?
Or, you know, stop being a loser, whatever the case is. It's really funny what the things that we default to just as human beings is even about leadership. But often when somebody is not behaving the way we want them to, they're not acting right, or the way we think they could or should act, we default to criticism. The problem with criticism is that it's so frickin' destructive. It is destructive on so many different levels, but primarily for two reasons. One is that as human beings, we don't like to be told what to do.
No.
And the other one is, as human beings, we don't like to be put down. And criticism has a very effective way of bringing both of those destructive approaches
at the same
to the front. But we do it all the time. We even criticize ourselves. You know, we criticize our kids and our relatives and our loved ones. And it's not even coming from a bad place. Now, it's not coming from our best place, because our best place would probably know better.
Okay.
But it's coming from just a regular human place. You're like, what's wrong with you? Get it together. Clean this up, or whatever the case is,
right?
You know. But we know it doesn't work on us. Right? So when you think about it, when you think about the aftermath when somebody has kind of told you everything that's wrong with you.
Oh, wow. Been there, but go ahead.
In a way of being quote unquote helpful,
you know,
you're trying to tell you everything that's wrong with it. You know, if you fixed all these things about yourself, you'd be straight. You'd be good. But the reality is that's not how it lands. It doesn't land as caring or looking out for your best self. Right? It lands as, well, damn, I'm just not good enough. You know, and we already have a lot of that not good enough going on. And then when you layer that with, you know, an ineffective leader using you're not good enough, thinking that, you know, using that as a method of trying to inspire you or encourage you, which, of course, doesn't work, but they might not know any other way because they're just trying to get it done.
Right.
It is just it can make for a really negative, disempowering, like where you just question yourself at every turn, toxic and unproductive situation.
Wow.
You know, when you think about, you know, and whether we're talking about school or we're talking about work, there are probably classrooms that you go into, right, if you're in school, where even if you're not doing well in the class, you look forward to going to this class and this particular teacher because he makes you feel a certain way about yourself. And it's funny because it's not because you're an A student.
Nope.
It's not because you're always getting the right answer. It's not even because you don't sometimes goof off, but there's something about the way they interact with you, the way they see you as a human being that like has you feel a certain positive way about yourself.
Right.
And we show up different when we feel that way. Right.
Wow.
And then there are other teachers, if we're going to be honest, that even if you're doing all right in their classes, it's almost like you got to brace yourself and like, okay, I'm coming in. This class is about to start. And it like drains everything out of you because, again, there's something about the way they communicate. Doesn't mean that they're a bad teacher, but there's something about the way they communicate that has you feel another certain something, you know, way about yourself.
Right.
That's not inspiring. That drains your energy. That leaves you feeling like something's wrong, like not enough, you know, like you just get in here, get your head down, you know, get it done and get out before anything bad happens. Right. So I don't know if you've had, you know, experiences like that, teachers like that, because most of us have had both.
Right.
So anyway, I know that that's a really just long-winded way of saying that, but
Detail. You're beating yourself up. You're beating
Thank
yourself
you.
Up.
Detail. Yeah, that's a detailed way of just getting to hopefully having, you know, your listeners hear this and recognize those people who do leave them feeling a certain positive way about themselves.
Let me ask you this. I hate to interrupt. Let me ask you this, because you said, you know, you don't know if I experienced that before. And let me tell you, I come from a military background. So there are leaders. And here's the thing. How does...
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Have you been wronged by your nicotine pouches? Settle for sharp edges, rough texture, flavor that drops off. Your pouches are a total wreck, and we're here to get results. Introducing On Plus, the softest pouch on the planet, made with plush, stretchy Nicosilk mesh. That's right, it's as soft as it sounds. So stop settling. Buy On Plus nicotine pouches today at onnicotine.com. Products for tobacco consumers 21 years of age or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
One who comes across, I guess, the leader that comes across, you know, and I hate to say, you know, that they don't know they're coming across, because let me tell you, in the military, I'm pretty sure they know they're coming across, but they think that what they're doing has a positive effect on their teams, on their soldiers, or whatever. They think they have a positive effect because they get some type of result. When I say some type. I mean, if you tell a team to, hey, go over there and, you know, clean up that shed over there, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, can we go over there and clean that shed because it's an eyesore? We really need to, you know, set a standard. Okay, got it. Or you get the other part where it's like, go over there and clean that freaking, and I'm using the G version, that freaking shed over there. Get over there, private. You haven't finished it yet? But that's
right.
Almost the norm. Coaches do it too in sports.
They do, and I know that that's what you're absolutely right. I think that that's especially what we have seen on TV and in movies. We've got the "I'm gonna whip you maggots into shape,"
yes,
you know, type of thing,
yeah.
And you know, and certainly with sports as well. But then you have the greats that don't ever get, you know, forgotten, right? The Woodens,
mm-hmm,
the folks who, like, their very names make you want to stand a little bit taller,
right?
You know, they make you want to check yourself because they inspire that, and they were that leader that I'm talking about,
right?
You know, they happened to also be the coach who was in charge,
right?
But they were already that leader before they were the coach.
Why don't people, leaders, or people in general, because you think, you know, one day those people that you're leading will eventually maybe be that leader one day. Why don't people look back and say, that's the leader I want to be? You mentioned Wooden. Yes. You mentioned Wooden. Why don't more people look and say, you know what? I want to be a Wooden.
Yes.
Why don't they?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question, but, you know, I'll tell you. I actually believe that it's because, especially if you are in a situation where there is negative, ineffective leadership or supervision, you're looking around and you're like, well, that person got ahead, and they're crappy, have a bad attitude, and treat people badly.
Mm.
And I guess, is that how I have to show up?
Wow.
In order to also get noticed in this environment, right?
Yikes.
And I think the same thing goes for the military. It's been normalized, right? So it's not just you being pinpointed or anything like that. It's everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's in this mm-hmm particular, you know, group. And I think that you signed on expecting that experience.
Mm.
And that also, and again, not being a pro or an expert around the military, but definitely, you know, if we're talking about just being human beings, we have this inherent, this taught desire to be validated, approved, and approved by others. This people-pleasing, you know, default. And so that people-pleasing default works really well. And also the love of structure works really well in the military. So if what you want is to, you know, get the stripes on your jacket and the pins, right, that comes from, to some extent, right, not only, of course, you know, valor and all the magnificent things that our service people do, because that's a whole other set. But a lot of that comes from just simply being able to follow instructions and get it right. Right, to somebody else's specifications,
not
to your own, but to somebody else's specifications. And while that works well in the military, if they've got their eye on you and they're actually ready to catch you doing something right, we're not always trying to, when you look out in, certainly in corporate America and different organizations and schools, there are people out there who are not always trying to catch you winning.
Right.
Get me?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who are not trying to catch you winning. You know, that leader, that real leader that we started out talking about, they are actually trying to catch you winning because they know that they can ride that winning streak to have you win more and turn it into more of a streak.
Mm.
Right? Because again, once you're feeling a certain way about yourself, the way we think is different. Right? Mm. And I'll tell you. And just to do like a quick take, let's say that the, like, your least favorite thing to do is to have to stand up in front of, let's say, a class or a group and give this 5-minute report on a book or a topic, whatever the case is. And you're going into this thinking, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to be humiliated. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to think I'm a chump. They're going to think I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. They're going to, you know, I'm going to embarrass myself. I don't even know what to do. And you start, you know, putting your presentation together or whatever it is with that in mind, you're going to get a very different outcome than if you walk into it thinking, you know what? I know I don't like giving presentations, but what does this group need to learn about this? What do they need to hear? What can I teach them, or what was helpful for me that I might be able to teach them?
Wow.
Well, think about it, right? Just
if
you're imagining yourself needing to deliver some sort of message, some sort of information, you're going to go at it very differently from this place of, all right, let me be in it for them. You know I don't like this. Let me be in it for them. What do they need? How can I make sure that happens? And well, if I stumble, I stumble, whatever. But at least I make sure they got what they need, as opposed to the other side of, I don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
Because I don't want to be embarrassed, even though it sounds like such a little thing and it sounds so natural.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us act really weird. I don't want to be embarrassed makes us act really fake. It makes us act really stiff. It makes us actually put other people down because we think that, right, if we can kind of embarrass them a little bit
and maybe take the limelight off of us,
they won't bust ours.
Been there.
So it's all just in that way that we decided to think about this thing we don't actually want to do.
Wow.
Right? But one thought, like, okay, what do they need, gets you feeling like, okay, curious and maybe determined and I can do this and just, you know, committed to getting it done. The other one, the I don't want to be embarrassed, I don't want them to laugh at me, gets you showing up feeling defensive with a chip on your shoulder, you know, almost maybe even pissed off already from the beginning.
Real talk. I've been there.
So that thought, right? and this is where I spend a lot of time with my executive clients. Mm-hmm. We think that that thought is a fact. We think that that thought is real. All that it is just a phrase that went through your mind.
Wow.
And you get to choose it. You get to hang on to it for dear life, or you can just watch it and let it go.
Wow. See, right? And I've been that person who didn't want to get up in front of a group of people and like you said, do something, report, whatever, presentation, whatever, especially in college. It seemed like every class it was a presentation. Like that was the benchmark for passing the class. And you're like, God. And I've been that individual who just got up and was like, with an attitude, like, I really don't want to do this. And I thought, this is me, I thought that was a way of me psyching out the fact that I didn't want to get up there. Like if I get up there and I'm just angry, I'll be more focused on me being angry than being nervous, than being, you know, I don't want them to laugh or I don't want to mess up. So I'm going to just be angry. What? Like, almost like, what are y'all looking at? Well, you're the one giving the presentation, genius. Of course they're going to look at you. But that's
right.
Kind of what, the mindset that I had. Now, so when we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I've got a $1 million question to ask Ms. Asia Bribieska Hedin. I see. There it is. I got my tea in me. I'm ready now. So when we come back, I've got a $1 million question. Are leaders born? Or are they made? I can't wait to hear.
Definitely talking about that. Okay.
So we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
All right, we're back at the Life Strong Project. I'm so excited for today's episode because, hey, this is getting to the nitty-gritty of what everybody claims they want to be and what you need to be. This is getting good, and this is about to get real good after this question. We're back with Ms. Asia Bribieska Hedin. And Asia,
yes,
the $1 million question.
Yes,
here we go.
It is. It really is a $1 million question.
Are leaders born, or are they made? Because we always hear. I don't know how many times I've heard the term "born leader." He or she is a born leader.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because, you know, I do hear that often. Uh-huh. And I also think that is folks almost like underestimating what that person did to show up from that place of already being able to inspire the best from others. Mm. Right?
Okay.
So, yeah, there might be some personalities, certainly some backgrounds, some upbringings that might make that a little bit easier, Okay. But there is nothing born about it.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, from where I'm sitting, there is nothing born about it. Mm. You know, and here's the thing, you know, one way you can think of it is that you can see people who are real leaders in one area Or you may even be, you know, the leader, and you're sitting in there listening to this in one area of your life or one area of your community or your organization, and in another area or with another group of people or another circumstance, you don't bring that same leadership, right? So there is something about that situation that, you know, maybe it was more natural for you to bring it to that area, but to then, you know, pick that up and move that same leadership effectiveness to a different scenario, you know, that is not born. That is not natural. That is actually something that you need to learn how to develop, because you're a human being, and that's how we are. Our brains are very efficient. And so we're often able to, you know, without making decisions, translate the same decision or thinking process from one area to another. But as soon as something looks in our minds, right, that we, we interpret to be very different, that automatic decision making, that maybe automatic confidence that we had in that area, doesn't trigger, right? Because it looks different. So it automatically puts us in a different frame of mind, because all of a sudden we're thinking, oh shoot, this, I don't know what to do here. Or I don't know what they're talking about. Or I don't know that person's attitude or what they're trying to do or anything like that. And all of a sudden we feel less willing to step in and be the leader. So that tells me that it's not born. That it really is something you develop. Even if there are circumstances where you already feel more naturally willing and able to lead.
I like how you did that. You didn't just give me the answer, you know. Never say, oh, they're made, or they're born, or whatever. But no, you I like how you took us, and then all of a sudden you said, bam, this is why they are made or built or you know.
Absolutely.
They develop. Because I always hear the term born leader. I heard it in the Army, born leader. And always, you know, after a while you hear that, you believe it or not, you start believing that stuff. Like, okay, I just wasn't, you know, and like you said, there's a certain comfort level in every, you know, leadership, I guess, position or what have you. There's a certain comfort level, because there were some areas where I felt great. Like, I know I can do this. I know I can lead here. But there were others where I was like, oh, I've got to brush up on some things. Oh, here we go. You want me to do what? Okay, I've got to really brush up on. And my confidence was not there. So how in the world can, it makes complete sense. And sometimes it took other soldiers who knew what they were. Hey, I've been doing this for a few years. Hey, okay.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need all in one place, from HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more, and all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock, so your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Show me how to do this real quick.
right.
So now, that being said, so they're made, right?
I believe that they're made. And okay. I actually, when I work with clients, it is absolutely, I have the 100% like unequivocal confidence, certainty that they are made. And so that's why I follow a certain process with them. Because I know that it works. Like, I know that it gets them into that leadership mindset.
Okay. So as you're consulting, or as you're going in there and you see these leaders, and something in your brain says, whoa, his leadership, you know, style or whatever is not up to snuff. There's four leadership styles. How do you, and there's four. There's autocratic, there's democratic, laissez-faire, and, paternalistic, right?
I hear different titles, but yes, I think you've pretty much got them all in there.
Yay.
You know, participative and authoritative right. and laissez-faire, and yeah.
Okay. So now, how do you assess the best leadership style? I guess, can you assess it? That's number one. And number two, because apparently if they're using the wrong style, or they don't even know what style they're using, or what have you, how do you say, okay, let me school you. You're doing it wrong. I mean, I know you don't come across like that, but you're doing it wrong. And you need to know about these, because there are tons of leaders that don't even know there are different leadership styles. Let's just put it
absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely.
Just put it out there.
So I'm gonna give you a detailed answer to this. Because I talked a second ago about the process I take mm-hmm. my clients to, and I'm actually gonna introduce that to you.
Okay.
Because then you'll understand why leadership style is last, right, in that process.
Last?
It's last, and you'll understand why as we go.
Okay.
So I use something called the VITAL process, or the VITAL leadership framework. And I created it because it seemed to be the repeatable process for what needs to happen kind of both in our heads and out in the world, right with mm-hmm. our learning, for us to get to that place of being, you know, a confident leader that knows what our style is and being deliberate about that. So I'll tell you what VITAL process is. It starts with values, and that is just, you know, what's important to you, how that guides your beliefs, how it guides your behaviors, your decision making. And we start there because, well, values, of course, they're like our North Star. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't even know that there's an issue with our values until we feel stuck. Mm. So if you ever find yourself thinking, oh my gosh, this thing is so important to me, this is a goal I really want to accomplish, except for some reason you're not taking any activity, you're not moving forward at all, and really then you start to think, am I just flaky? What the heck is going on? Mm. I'm saying this is important to me, and yet I'm not making it happen. And that's often because you have two values in conflict. So people don't step back and consider it. So for example, uh-huh. you might say, you know, I want to get, using work as the example, of course, I want to get this promotion, you know, this right. next cycle around.
Okay.
And you know that there, let's say there are three or four things you need to do or beef up in order mm-hmm. to be a great candidate and kind of get that promotion in the bag. And yet every opportunity that comes around, there is some reason that you're not able to go ahead and focus on beefing up, you know, those, you know, two or three areas you said were necessary and that you know are necessary for you to be kind of first in line for that promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's very likely that as opposed to thinking that you're flaky or uncommitted mm-hmm. or something like that, which is what we kind of default to. We kind of default to criticizing ourselves, right? Sometimes. It's very likely that there is just something else equally important pulling at you, right? So that promotion, that might be speaking to your desire for either knowledge or your value of respect or your value of accomplishment or something like that, right? Or even just financial
right.
security
right.
might be about that. But on the other side, there's another part of you that also knows that if you get that promotion, you're going to be traveling 80% of the time, or you're going to be on conference calls and doing last minute work most weekends. And in your life, let's say you not only have a podcast, but you might also have community commitments. Mm-hmm. You might have, you know, people who are important to you in your life. There might be, you know, your church where you're actively involved.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, you know, you're a scout troop leader. you haven't actually sat down and thought through what it's going to take and what you need to give up if you take that promotion, but a part of you knows, like a part of you's already tuned into it.
Right.
You just haven't sat down and gotten really clear. So, you know, we always start with values because it's important to understand, you know, what those kind of guiding beliefs and principles and kind of like your own rule book for living looks like. Because you'd be surprised how often we don't recognize when our values go out of whack and we feel like, I don't know what's wrong. I can't get anything to work and nothing feels quite right. And that's often because we just have a value that's we're ignoring, that we kind of trampled on accident.
Oh, wow. Right?
So, and this often happens, you know, certainly either whether you're, again, in a school, whether you're in a corporate environment, this is also how people inadvertently kind of slide down that slippery slope by kind of compromising a value a little bit. And then that little bit, you know, turns into a mountain. Right. So it's one of those things that we want to step back and figure out what's happening. Because if it's not handled, your results and your progress are not going to match what you say your priorities are. And you're going to panic every time there's a change in circumstance or things don't go according to plan because you don't have a North Star. Right. The North Star is always there.
Right.
It's always there. So even if there's a storm, even if you get turned the wrong direction, you can look back and say, oh, there it is, and reacclimate yourself. When you don't, you're not clear about that, there's nothing to reacclimate you. You just get stuck. You're lost. You don't understand why nothing's working. So we always start with values, right? That's the first step.
Okay.
Oh. And you all, you know, whoever's listening, you can do this on your own. Of course, I work with this on my my clients, but you can do this on your own. Just take a step back and figure out, okay, what am I saying? Let's just say, what are the top five things or even three things that I say are most important to me in life right now? And how do they look in my life? I even have folks look at their calendars for a certain period of time, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and say, okay, now that you know the things that you say are most important to you in your life, if you look back at your calendar, what would somebody looking at your calendar now say are the most important things to you? And do they reflect
and you are
what
not,
you say?
You are not lying about that because I remember you did that to me. She's not lying about that, y'all. She hit me with that one. I promise you. Go ahead. I just had to get that out there.
And that's a super simple, right, activity you can do on your own. So definitely run with that, especially, you know, getting into the, you know, it's the new year. You got this new year ahead of you. What do I want my schedule to say about me? What do I want my days, my weeks, my months to say about what's important to me? Okay, so that's value. See, we're only at the first.
I know.
So more quickly because we're going to be here till, you know, till tomorrow. The next step are the intangibles. So, you know, stay with me on this one. It's more simple than it seems. But the intangibles is kind of the interior work. It's what's actually going on inside your head. It's the intentions behind your actions. And those are the real intentions versus what you say your intentions are.
Okay.
Right? So this is like, just so you're clear what I mean when I say this. If you've ever gone you know, just to buy something maybe that's kind of expensive and you have the salesperson there, you know, in particular, I know we say this about used car salespeople, but the person tries to immediately pretend they're your best friend.
Yes.
And express all sorts of interest. Oh, great. And where'd you grow up? And what do you do? How many kids do you have? And it's not because they're trying to, you know, create a relationship with you. It's not because they're trying to become your friend. It's because they want to sell you something. And we know that, like we feel it in our bodies. We even call it that yucky used car salesperson vibe, right? Because we can feel when what's going on internally is not actually what the person, you know, is putting on the outside. Like they don't match.
Right.
And when it's not handled, it keeps your actions from landing the way that you'd hoped. you probably end up inadvertently turning off or offending a lot of people. You feel like there's always more to do, like there are more credentials that you have to do. There are more training that you have to get. You need that other to-do list and do it exactly the way that other person did it, because you skip to the to-dos instead of figuring out the who you're being. Right? So that's where we go. Because this is where, you know, you're doing all the right things, but you're not seeing the results. And if it feels like you're doing all the right things, but you're missing the results, that's because you're just going through the to-dos and not getting really honest.
Wow.
With what's going on in your head, right? Like, for example, I coached this, this VP at this organization, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, what's the deal? And he's like, well, I have trouble connecting with people. I'm like, okay, tell me, why do you think that? He's like, I don't know. You know, I have trouble connecting with people. And so I asked him, well, okay, when you meet someone or when you're in that small group and you want to make a connection, what is it that you want them to think about you? And he said, well, I want them to be impressed. And I was like, oh, can you see how different you might interact with someone if you're trying to be impressive and impress them than if you're trying to connect with them? So he said he was trying to connect with them.
Right.
But that wasn't what he was trying to do.
He was trying to
impress. He was trying to impress them.
Wow.
Which had him show up and think in a totally different way. And we pick up on that. We can tell when somebody's being a little sleazy or weird. Right?
Right.
I mean, we pick up on that. We've all done it. We've all but been on the being weird side too. You know, I use this sometimes when I tell people, you know, happily married many years, but mm-hmm. when you go on a date after not being on a date for a really, really, really long time.
Yep. Yes.
And I don't want to, you know, I will say the word desperation. That not necessarily that you're desperate, but there might be this air of, oh my God, I got to get it right. I wonder what they're thinking of me. How can I be more charming? Mm-hmm. How can I make sure they really like me? Oh my God, this one's great. I can't let them get away. You know, and when you're going into your evening or your date or your hangout with that kind of vibe, it's going to be an absolute turnoff.
Wow. Right?
To the other person, because you're not trying to connect. You know, you got all this other mental crap and cloud going on in front of you. So those are the intangibles or the internal stuff. Then we go on to the tangibles. And again, this is vital. So we did the V and the I. Now we're at the T, the tangibles. Okay. Now the tangibles are the how-tos. Those are the leading practices, the checklists, the training, the credentials, the steps. You know, and if you don't handle that, you'll be missing the basic tactics and skills that you need to do what you need to get done, right? So it's just the basic how-tos. Even if it's, you know, how to prepare for an interview, you know, how to, how to create a business plan, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And you'll remain unclear on what you need to, not just what you need to know in order to go from, you know, thinking to doing. And you'll also likely have a lot of false starts. Like you'll start and then it won't work. And you'll start and then you'll have to stop again. And then you'll start and you'll realize there's something else you don't know. So you do have to do the how-tos. But the biggest mistake people make is trying to do the how-tos before the internal work, right? Trying to do the tangibles before the intangibles. It doesn't work that way.
Wow.
You got to handle the intangibles, because the way you do the how-tos are going to be driven by what's actually going on in your head, not what was going on in the head of the person who gave you the to-do list or the head of the person who trained you, or even what's you hope will be in your head once you get it all right. Right?
Wow. Okay.
So they're going to land very differently when those two aren't aligned and when they're not done in the proper order, because there is a proper order.
Wow.
And that's why. That's why.
Wow. Okay. So vitals. We've got the V, the I,
we got the V,
and the T, right? All right. So
exactly.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get to the A, the L. Is it vital or vitals?
No, vital.
Oh, vital.
With an L.
All right. So we got the A and the L. When we come back, y'all stay tuned and get the rest of this exciting information. Miss Asia Brabieska-Hadin will be back.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
We're back at the Lifestone Project.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Life Strong Project. I'm here with our very special guest, Miss Asia Bribieska Hadeen. So, before we left, you hit us with the V, the I, and the T in vital. All right, V-I-T. Talk to us about the A and the L, because you've already given me a preview of what the L is. So I know what to expect. But hit us with the A and the L. What's next?
Absolutely. And you know, just before I get into that, mm-hmm. I want to, because you can't actually see what the process looks like. Mm-hmm. The V, the I, and the T are all about leading yourself. They're about eliciting the best from yourself.
Ah.
That's what those are. Now the A and the L are all about leading others.
Okay.
Right? And preparing, equipping to do that and eliciting the best or getting the best from them.
Okay.
So the AA, that stands for advanced competencies. And those are things like, again, empowering others, mm-hmm. Creating strategy, failure planning. And when you don't have the advanced competencies handled, you'll find that if you work with a team, they don't mm-hmm. understand their place in the bigger picture. They don't understand why certain things are important.
Right.
It'll seem like they lack motivation and initiative and they're just not getting it done and they're not engaged. And it'll also seem like you're moving mountains to try to get buy-in from them. You're like, you guys, no, really, this is important. We got to do this. Mm-hmm. It'll feel like you're moving mountains. And that's what happens when you don't have some of those advanced competencies in place. And I'll hit on a couple of them briefly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for example, some of them are just very straightforward, like cascading, meaning there is this larger goal and everybody understands what their individual goal is that ties to that larger goal, right? Okay. So even if it's, you know, moving bricks from one side of the building to the other, mm-hmm. everyone understands their individual goal is, okay, well, we got to move all those bricks, but my goal today is 100 bricks. Like, that's how I fit into the big picture.
Okay.
Right, just to simplify it. But
right.
But that's what cascading is about. You clearly understanding what your role is in that bigger picture, right? Because that ties you not only to the big picture, but it gives you some commitment and ownership over, okay, yeah, I do matter in this. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have something to do with this, as opposed to when they're talking, it's like, this doesn't even have anything to do with me.
Okay.
So those advanced competencies, we want to make sure that we're able to deliver that to our teams, to the people that we work with. And again, when I say team, it's not even necessarily people below us, but it can be just people we're partnering
with. Right, gotcha.
But another one that I want to bring up briefly around advanced competencies are, because of course there's strategic planning and creating strategy and delivering strategy, but failure planning. And we have a weird relationship with failure.
Okay.
And just human beings. We're very funny. We'd rather not try something that we say is incredibly meaningful and important to us for fear of failure than actually trying it, maybe getting it wrong and goofing it up and learning something in the process and then doing it better next time. So we're very funny that way. We think that not failing, you know, by not doing is a success. But it is not. It's actually failing in advance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is very different, right? It is not success. You know, not trying or not doing because you're afraid of how you'll feel if you'll fail or how you'll feel if other people laugh or something like that is just failing in advance, right? Just literally selling yourself out. So we do failure planning. And failure planning, what I have people think about is the things that you expect are going to show up to throw off your game, to throw off what you're trying to get accomplished, okay. And then actually deciding in advance, right? Not when you're in this weird reactive state of, oh my God, something went wrong, right. What you're going to do, but deciding in advance how you're going to handle it. So I think failure planning is a key that a lot of people are missing. And even I know that I don't do enough of it for myself. But it's so important. And I'll tell you about something in a second. Talking about military, there's something I call Sergeant Bad. It's something I came up with. Okay.
Okay.
So Sergeant Bad always shows up. Always going to show up. So you need to know how you're going to respond to Sergeant Bad. And Sergeant Bad stands for someone's going to be a dummy or a derailer or a downer or a, you know, whatever the D word is you want to put in there.
I like dummy.
A dunce. Someone is going to be that.
Wow.
Right? And so you need to decide in advance what role you're going to let Sergeant Bad have.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Wow.
Are you going to let Sergeant Bad drive your results and what you say is important to you and your goals and your decisions? Or are you going to decide in advance, well, Sergeant Bad is likely to show up in these ways.
Right.
Right. And this is how I'm going to respond when she shows up or when he shows up.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So Sergeant Bad is always going to show up. Now
Without fail.
To you if you decide you're going to pretend you're surprised and you can't imagine that would have ever happened. That's not true. Stuff's always going to happen. So decide in advance, as the leader you are, how you want to respond or how you might respond and how you might react, what decisions you might make when it happens.
Okay. So let me ask you this. The individual who has been classified as a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Generally, I'm going to go on a limb and say they don't prepare for Sergeant Bad, because when you're a perfectionist, everything has to be perfect, as opposed to, okay, this can happen. And if it does happen, this is what I'm going to do. For the person, and here's, I've been told that I'm a perfectionist. I say I've been told. I'm not claiming that anyway, but I've been told that I am a perfectionist. But I can see where I probably don't prep for the Sergeant Bads in things that I do. For someone like me, who probably needs to do a better job of that, where do they begin? What's the first? I mean, you said Sergeant Bad is always going to show up without fail.
Something's going to happen. So you might as well be prepared and decide with the smart part of your brain, right? The prefrontal cortex, what you want to do about it, mm-hmm. as opposed to as a visceral reaction to, oh, shoot, something went wrong.
Right.
Right.
So we want to be proactive, not reactive. Is that
exactly? Yeah. That's exactly right.
Got it. Go ahead and hit us with the I already know what L is. You already told me. You already told me, but go ahead and hit us with the L.
Okay. So the L stands for leadership style.
No.
But here's the thing. It's not only whether you're, you know, authoritative or participative or laissez-faire or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's understanding kind of what you are and are not willing to help others develop.
Okay.
Now I'll talk about this in a second, because I know that's a weird way to think about it.
Okay.
We all think that we want to be the leader that, yes, I will help anybody who wants my help. I will help you develop whatever skills and help you grow and become the best team ever. Mm-hmm. And we all think that until we're faced with what feels like the ridiculous and the obvious, right? Mm. If you feel like you're constantly facing the ridiculous and the obvious and addressing the ridiculous and the obvious with your team, mm-hmm. that's because you're not clear on what you were willing to develop in others and in yourself. This is why leadership style comes last, because when it's not handled, when you're not really honest with yourself and you're not handling this, you're frustrated all the time. You're disappointed in your team. You're second guessing your ability to communicate what you want. You're like, I'm giving them clear instructions, and for some reason they can never get it. Mm-hmm. You start to believe that you're horrible at hiring the right people or even picking the right like relationship partners, because you're not honest about what you're willing to develop and even tolerate in other people.
Wow.
Right? If you say you're a participative type of leader, right? And that's the kind of leader I'm going to be. I want everybody to have a voice. But in reality, you actually do your best when, let's say, you got a little input at the beginning, and then you give people their marching orders and say, okay, team, you got it. Go.
Okay.
It's going to feel like nails on a freaking chalkboard, right? When mm-hmm. somebody comes to you asking if they can change the plan because they had a great idea.
Mm.
It might even feel like a threat. Like you might even feel threatened by it, like having your leadership threatened. Right? And you weren't starting out thinking about it that way. But that is what happens when you're not clear on and really honest about that leadership style. Because we see these in the book and everybody's like, oh, yeah, I want to be this type of leadership style. And I just, you know, I want everybody to love me and I want to love everybody. And we all have an equal voice. It's like, you know what? It's okay to lead. There's nothing wrong with leading or being decisive or even with people disagreeing with you. That comes with leadership.
Okay.
What's important is you don't make it mean anything about you if they agree or not.
Mm.
Right? That's the thing. That's where we get sucked into the people pleasing. That's when we get sucked into the validation. That's when we get sucked into the popularity contest. We actually bought into the hype and are making it mean something about us. Mm. Your leadership style is your honest commitment towards how you want to lead based on what actually works for you.
Okay.
Not what's in the textbook, not even what you wish you were willing to lead by, but what's real. Because again, this is also where, you know, we make a similar mistake when we choose partners or friends.
Right.
You know, you have your own boundaries. Right. Because in a sense, this is where you think about your own boundaries, but you have your own boundaries. You know, for example, you do not want to hang with friends that, let's say, do drugs or with something like that. Right. Or I don't know, a friend who, you know, hits their partner or something like that.
Right.
And you think, yeah, but that doesn't really come around me. So that doesn't matter. And, you know, so they can be my friend anyway. But the reality is all you're doing is introducing a whole lot of chaos and stress, because you're going to find yourself constantly judging them, even when they're not doing the bad thing,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to find yourself avoiding spending time with them. You're going to find yourself, you know, struggling to figure out like why you're in this relationship to begin with. And that's just from not being honest about what those boundaries are, what you're willing to, again, in the case of leadership, develop in yourself and in others, or in case of relationship, what you're willing to allow or tolerate or invite from others, right? So there's nothing wrong with having boundaries. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't want people to ask me stupid questions. I first want them to go out, tell me what they did to look it up and figure it out on their own,
mm-hmm.
and then come ask me, right?
Mm.
Like, that's a very straightforward way. And then you're also not stuck with the frustration of what is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me that I keep hiring these people? Oh, right?
Right.
Because that's what happens when we don't get leadership style right. And that's also what happens when we start the leadership journey by thinking we're going to decide what our leadership style is. Leadership style is given by a whole lot of internal work and honesty and then commitment.
Okay. So we don't get to choose a leadership style.
I think you can choose, but you got to choose after you've already had the chance to do the internal work and be incredibly honest, again, about your values and in particular those intangibles. Right.
Wow.
And then from there, you can decide, okay, now this is the leadership style I really want to maybe even grow into. Like right now, I know I'm all authoritative. I'm like, just get it done.
Okay.
Say, I want to be a little more of a mentor, let's say.
Okay.
Right. I want to spend a little more time. Then you go back and you work on your tangibles again, those to-dos. Like, okay, what would the to-dos look like now? You know, to be a more effective mentor, to spend a little more time developing junior leaders, to spend, you know, whatever the case is. But you got to be honest with yourself, because otherwise all of it feels like a freaking chore. It feels like a headache, and it feels like you're spending your time doing stupid work or working with stupid people, right? As harsh as it sounds to say it that way.
Ooh.
But that's what it feels like.
Right.
Inside, when we don't understand what we're willing to develop in other people and what we're not, what we're willing to even tolerate with our friends or relationships and what we're not.
Last question for you. You ready?
Yes.
How? Is it true that in order to be a good listener or a good leader, I said that wrong, a good leader, you must be a good follower? How true is that? Is that a true statement? Because that's something else we hear a lot of.
Well, I mean, if you consider that, right, leadership, the way we started the conversation, is about bringing your best and from there, inspiring the best from others. You can be a leader as you're following. Like, you can help inspire the best from that leader.
Okay.
As a follower, by the way that you follow, by the way you contribute, by the way that you partner, right? By the way that you collaborate. And all of those things come with being a follower, but they also come with being a leader. So yes, and I think that really the gold in that sentiment is, at least one way that I think of it, is to not get caught up in the necessarily who's in charge. Because if your goal is truly to get the best from everyone involved to move towards that shared goal, right? Because ultimately that's what's going on with that team or that group, that shared goal.
Right.
Then it doesn't matter which title you technically have. You're going to show up the same way anyway. You may not be making the final ultimate decision because you are a follower, but you're going to support and bring your best and inspire the best of others in pursuing that decision. So it's not about, I get to call the shots. And that's what I think that statement's always kind of trying to remind us.
Uh-huh.
It's not about, I'm calling the shots. It's like, how do you bring your best to support that decision, even if someone else called the shot, right? How do you take some ownership and engagement with that goal, even if it was set by someone else, even if it was set by your organization or the leadership that was there before you joined the company, right? But how do I bring my best to move towards that goal?
Wow. Makes sense. Ah, Miss Brubieska Hadeen, we thank you. Now, you listeners, you can't see, but I'm on a Zoom call doing this interview, and I'm looking out the window behind her. She's in this wonderful area. It's just she took the time out to do this interview on vacation. I am so thankful for you to share your time and your information with me and the rest of the Life Strong Project family. Thank you so much. How can people get in contact with you to get more of this good information?
Yeah, well, so I want to make sure I say thank you for having me here. You know, I love being in this conversation. I love, you know, having this conversation with you specifically.
Because she tells me like a TI is, that's why, y'all.
It's always a great conversation. So thank you for having me. And yes, you guys. So, of course, I'm most active on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So you can find me there. Asia Briviesca Hedin at LinkedIn. And you can also go to my website. And that's the quickest and easiest way. You don't have to spell as much. It's bridgewellpro.com. You can go to bridgewellpro.com. And here's the thing. If you go to the website, there's a page that says Leadership Division and another one, I think, where you can click some resources. Mm-hmm. And I have free resources up there. And some of them are really awesome because they just help you get clear about what's going on kind of in your head, in your thinking, in your career, in your life. So take advantage of those, you guys. Download them all. You know, you'll get occasional free resources from me, or you can just unsubscribe if you don't want to, but download them and take advantage. What an amazing way to start the year on purpose.
On purpose, not by accident.
Start the year on purpose.
On purpose. I appreciate that. We thank you for again, taking the time out. We thank you for this. Was an awesome conversation. You always bring so much to the table. Thank you so much. Again, everybody, thank you for listening into the Life Strong Project. Remember, live, laugh, love, enjoy each day like it's your last. We will catch you guys later.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.